If you have your Bible with you, turn with us to the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Roman church. In Romans chapter 5, and of course this was written, as we said, by the Apostle Paul, approximately either the fifth or the sixth letter that he wrote. It was written about the time that he had just finished the second Corinthian letter. So he was transcribing and writing a lot to the different churches. And it was before that he went to Jerusalem. And you'll find in Acts where it talks about the Jerusalem conference. But at any rate, Paul, as he wrote this, as this book, if you look at this book, it's probably about the most full of the gospel as any of the other letters that you'll find. In fact, I've been told, now I don't know this for sure, but I've been told that it is so argumentative and so one thing right after the other that even law students study the argumentation of it. I may have mentioned that before. But Paul sets forth the gospel, and then even after the gospel. So looking at the fifth chapter of the book of the Roman letter, there are seven results of justification by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, and before that we were even born, we were going to be born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom that we have received the atonement. If correctly read, this includes the first down through the 11th verses of the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. Our thought in our text will come from the fifth verse of this same chapter that we read in your hearing. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us, or given unto us. And we want to take just a portion of that theme from the fifth chapter, or fifth verse, the very first part of it, where that he says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, we don't want to take too much liberty with the Word of God and take away from it, but I think that this is quite sufficient for all of our needs, especially hope. And in this day and time, there is a need for hope. We look at our world, we look at what's going on overseas, and we wonder, where is hope? Is there any hope? I know this week before the Thanksgiving meal that my wife had a tea towel. We call them tea towels where I come from. A tea towel, and it had the inscription of holly and of berries and of fir trees and so on and so forth. But then it had the word peace written across it. And she made a comment to me. She said, "Do you ever think that there will be peace on earth?" But I have a hope that it's not about peace on earth, but it's about peace with God in the hearts of individual. There's where the conflict is. Now, we talk about hope in this day and time, and we think of hope like an anticipation. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe relatives will come over. I hope they do, or I hope they don't. But the relatives will come over. Or that there'll be a big dinner for us at work. I hope that we get to have dinner together. And sometimes this kind of worldly hope holds with it a kind of, to put it bluntly, kind of an anticipation without any proof. In other words, no assurance. We have a hope that tomorrow that we'll see the light of day. We'll see a sunrise. But we're not assured of that. We don't know. But I'm not talking about that kind of worldly hope this morning. Talking about the hope that this says in your hearing, and hope that maketh not ashamed. The hope of Almighty God. It's not an uncertainty. It's not whether something will happen or a lack of assurance. And it's certainly not a lack of confidence. But this hope that we're talking about, and if you go into the original of hope, there are some wonderful things that it carries with it. It's one of the blessings of being justified before God. We have a hope. We have a hope that the world does not have. We've got a hope that is confident. We have an expectation in that hope. God has assured us in His Word of some things. And He has assured us that He will be with us even unto the end of time. God never fails in His promises. He has never, I want to repeat that, God has never failed in His promises. Now, we might not always get what we want, but we don't go for a lack of anything, whether it be material, whether it be spiritual, whatever that it might be. God never fails in His promises to us. We find in Isaiah that it says that I am the Lord God. I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, and listen, my counsel and my purpose will stand forever, and it will accomplish all my purpose. God never fails. God never falls by the wayside. And sometimes we think that God has created everything and He's just thrown it out there, and it's going to go by its own means, and He has nothing to do with it. I want you to know that God is involved in everything in our lives today. Even the very wheels, the very fact of the nature of how things are done in physics, and I don't know of any other way to explain it, but God upholds that. How does He uphold it? He upholds it by the word of His power. He spoke things into existence. He spoke all laws, all precepts. And my friend, in that we have an eternal hope. We've got a hope in Christ, and justification and salvation that will save an individual from hell. And I want you to know today, my friend, that's the only hope that a lost individual has, is what's in Christ Jesus. My friend, what He can do, what He can take up His abode within us today. Now, the Bible has some precepts in it that are never going to be changed. No matter how we interpret them, No matter how that we analyze them, they're still going to be the same. It's amazing over in the books of the prophets, such as Ezekiel, in the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, as he was prophesying unto Israel before that they went into captivity, made this comment. He said, "The soul that sinneth shall surely die." Well, why would Ezekiel say something like that? Sometimes in prophecy, God would interject some precept, some law, something, my friend, that would stand out to us. Do you know Isaiah was prophesying unto Ahaz? And he stops all of a sudden in his prophecy to Ahaz, and he makes this comment, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Behold, I'll give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, Wonderful, the Mighty King, the Everlasting God." There was hope that was always put there before us, and it is there before us. But to appreciate that hope, we've got to appreciate the fact that God is a just God, an honest God, and that what He says He will do, the soul that sinneth shall die. Now, He could have left Ezekiel off with that statement. And like Paul said in one place, if it were not for Christ Jesus in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable. We wouldn't have a hope. And sometimes we make it sound like God is just waiting. Oh, He's sitting on the judgment seat, and He's just waiting, and He delights in sending people into darkness, into the abyss. But my friend, I want you to know Ezekiel also said something else. He said, "I do not take pleasure in the death of even the wicked." Think about it today. God doesn't even take pleasure in the death of the wicked. If you and I were in the position to where that the most vile and wicked individual on death row would be executed, and we would be the one either to pull the lever or give the injection or whatever, we would probably do it. But God is long-suffering and merciful. And I want you to know that His mercy and His grace and His love is from everlasting to everlasting. And we find that the Bible tells us over one place that He is gracious unto all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you know that today? We are all as an unclean thing. We've all sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. Well, that preacher, that kind of leaves kind of a bad situation for me. I'm not going to enjoy the turkey whenever I get home because I'm so vile. But we're all in that condition. That's why Christ came to die for all mankind. That's why that He gave a hope unto us today. And He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And here's what I want to get to. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. It almost sounds contradictory. God is going to give the sinner a pass. He's going to give him a hope. But think about it today. God has not left mankind without hope. There is a steadfast hope. Do you know whenever that those prophets would read or write down or would prophesy of the things that God revealed to them, as they got closer and closer to that fullness of time, it seemed like the prophecies about Christ and about Him coming to redeem man from sin began to come faster and faster, and even the signs of what they are to look for. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, it wasn't just shepherds that were looking up under the sky. It wasn't just wise men that followed a star. It was humanity that was in need of a Savior. And who would have thought that God would send His Son into the world in the manner that He did to give hope unto us today? Oh, He should have been born in a palace. Now, if He'd been born in a palace, oh, I would have believed in Him, or I would believe Him. But a baby in a manger, the lowest of the low. I want to tell you, my friend, He became human. He took upon Himself flesh and blood. He was born just like you and I were. You mean He came through the womb? He came on a night whenever that Mary was having contractions? And you might say today, well, preacher, why are you giving us this kind of lesson? To tell you today, He was human, but He was God. And my friend, in being human, I believe, my friend, that Savior that was born, whenever that He saw the light of day, and whenever that He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the clothes that were of a priestly sort that were given to wrap sacrificial lambs in, He was wrapped within those swaddling clothes. My friend, He cried. My friend, He felt pain. He was hungry also. And so I heard one little girl say one time, well, did Mary have to change His diapers? Most certainly she did. I don't want to disillusion anyone today, but He did. But my friend, I want you to know today that He was fully God. And He was fully man. He was without sin. And He's the hope of our salvation. And if you've never been saved, Christ is the only hope of your salvation. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God looks for. That's what God says to preach. You might say today, how do I know that I would have that hope of salvation? My friend, whenever that the condemnation for your sin is lifted by the power of the Holy Spirit and you have peace with God, that's the peace that the world is looking for. That's the peace that ISIS is looking for, and they're missing it. You might say, well, I don't want to hear about those that religious persuasion being saved. My friend, those type of people were whom God came and sent His Son to save. I don't like their actions. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like what's going on in Israel. But I'll tell you this much, my friend. He came to die for all mankind. And brother, I want to tell you something today. Even if Putin would bow in the Kremlin and call upon God and ask God to save him and ask Jesus to come into his heart, God would honor that prayer. But I'll guarantee you, Putin would have a change. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We find that the Bible tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Bible also talks about in one place in the book of the Hebrew letter. Years and centuries and millennia ago, God entered into a covenant that He was going to bring hope into this world. He's the only hope. But He entered into a covenant with the Holy Spirit and with the Word, which the Word became flesh. And they agreed that the Word would become flesh and give hope unto mankind. A hope that is sure, not a temporary hope, not a hope, my friend, that's dependent upon circumstances, but a hope, my friend, that is sure and steadfast. And I want to say this today. If you get saved, and I'm just throwing this out rhetorically, but when one gets truly saved, my friend, it is not their duty or obligation to keep it because it's not theirs. It is Almighty God's. He keeps it, and He covenants with them that they'll be forevermore in His care. In the sixth chapter of the book of the Hebrew letter, we find that the Bible says, men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to them is an end of all strife. Wherein God more willingly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that has entered into within the veil. I used to ponder those two things called two immutable things, two unchangeable things. I used to think that I had it all figured out. Beware of the preacher that says he's got it all figured out, because God comes along and reveals otherwise. And I'm not saying I've got it figured out today, but there's two things, my friend, for sure, that we find in the book of Psalms in 100th chapter in the 7th verse. We find, my friend, that the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Who is he speaking to? He was talking definitely to somebody. Or was he just talking for the sake of talking? No, he was talking to the Word. He was talking to His Son. His Son is a high priest, a mediator, an intercessor. My friend, He is the one that people need to go to. My friend, don't trust your hands, in your soul, into the hands of a man that says, I can absolve you for sin. And I'm not criticizing anything by any means today, but I want you to know, my friend, He is the everlasting high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek had neither beginning of life nor ending of days, or at least that's what they thought. Well, here comes Melchizedek. He's older than dirt. Boy, they didn't know what they were saying. They didn't know what they were saying when they said that, because he was the one that came out unto Abraham and with Abraham sat down, and they had a communion service together. You might say, oh, preacher, you know, that happened whenever the church came about. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And Melchizedek came unto Abraham with bread and with wine. And I want you to know that in all of that, from Abraham's encounter with him, he foresaw what his seed would be. Well, Jesus even said it himself in the 8th chapter of the book of John. He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Oh, the Pharisees said, art thou older than our forefathers? He said, let me declare unto you this, before Abraham was, I was, always am, and will forevermore be. The great I am. And he forevermore is a high priest. He's your high priest today. Did you know that? He's yours that you come unto. He's yours who intercedes with God on your behalf. He's one that goes between you and between God. And I can almost see him lean over at the right hand of the throne of God and say unto the Father, that's brother so-and-so. He has my blood flowing in his veins, and it's been applied to his heart. And he's coming to ask of you a favor. He's coming to ask of you a blessing. And I want you to know, God hears his Son. And God will hear his Son. And my friend, he'll hear your prayer if you come unto God through him. That second immutable thing that David wrote about in the 16th Psalm. It said, I have set the Lord before my face that I shall not be moved. He said, therefore, thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave. Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Who was that Holy One? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second immutable thing. Christ Jesus' destiny was to die for sin, but also to be raised the third day. And He was raised the third day. And He did not see corruption. The earthworms had no dominion upon His body. The deteriorative processes that will take us back to the dust, it could not touch the Son of God. And it would not touch the Son of God. My friend, He was incorruptible. And He was raised incorruptible. And my friend, He is the hope of our resurrection. The resurrection of the just. The resurrection today of those, my friend, that has part in that first resurrection according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3. That revelation, that first revelation, or that first resurrection, pardon me, that first resurrection is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He conquered death. Death could not hold Him. The grave could not keep Him. There's a beautiful song about that. He could not be held. He could not be bound. And even though, my friend, that they placed a stone over where He was entombed, my friend, and they sealed it with Rome's seal, meaning that nobody could break that seal, that didn't matter to Almighty God, because He's over all kingdoms, over all emperors, over all presidents, over all, my friend, that might try to exert authority over mankind. That seal was broken by the power of God. And the third day, Jesus Christ came forth triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. That's the second immutable thing, and that will not change. And my friend, as we started to say before, in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, blessed is He, and holy is He, that hath part in that first resurrection, that resurrection being Christ. If you're in Christ Jesus, my friend, don't worry about whenever that you die. If you've been saved, don't worry about that, because I want you to know that He's conquered death. And whenever that He appears in clouds of glory, and whenever that He comes back, my friend, for us, my friend, the grave is not going to hold us. In fact, there's going to be a great triumphant entry into this atmosphere once again of the Son of God. He's coming back. Did you know that today? He's coming back. He's going to fulfill all righteousness. It says in the book of Thessalonians, it says that the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Brother, don't worry about whether there's a stone laying on top of your grave. If you've got loved ones that were saved, my friend, that stone is not going to keep them in the grave. And you might say today, preacher, you're so sure of this. You're so bound to this. You're just preaching it over and over again. Brother, I've got evidence. It's over in the Middle East where they're fighting over land. My friend, the evidence is that tomb that He was entombed in. It is empty today. The reason why is because that Christ overcame death and was resurrected. And if we are in Christ, it's very logical, as Spock would say, if we are resurrected, if we are in Christ Jesus, we will be resurrected just like Him whenever that He comes back. Well, what about those that are here upon the earth whenever He comes? Oh, this has been a prayer of mine. I would like to live to see Him break the eastern sky. I would love to see the glorious morning whenever that, my friend, time shall end. And whenever that the trump of God shall sound. And whenever that there's a voice, the voice of the archangel that says, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. I want to tell you something today, Elton Church. We're going to be called up and caught up to be with him in the air. And you that are here that are saved, you're going to be caught up to be with him in the air. And so shall we forevermore be with the Lord. But my friend, I'd love to be standing upon the earth. I would love to see those graves break open. I would love to see the last demise of death, Jesus Christ defeated death on the cross at the empty tomb. But my friend, for those of us that may be fortunate enough to be standing whenever that he comes, we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's our hope. That's the hope that I preach to you today. I don't know what this world is going to wind up like. I don't know if we'll even be here next year. But I do know this, Jesus is coming back. I do know this, there's going to be a resurrection. I do know this, that those that are in Christ are going to be raised incorruptible. I know this, that you and I, man, I would love to be with you in this church whenever that Jesus comes back and we're all called up together. Wouldn't that be something? Now, we might want to go back and have something to eat before we go. But don't eat. Because where are you going? You're going to be with Jesus. Where at? At the marriage supper of the Lamb. Don't fill up on candy. Don't fill up on anything else. Because I want to tell you, we will sit down beside of him. Excuse me, Abraham, will you pass the mashed potatoes? How do you know that's Abraham? Because the Bible says we will know as we are known. Please pass the ham, but don't give it unto the Jewish brethren over here that have been saved. But no, that won't matter anymore. My friend, it won't mean a thing anymore. We're going to sit down and feast with him. God shall wipe away every tear from our eyes. Did you know that today? My friend, the heartaches, the problems, my friend, the things that cause us great grief today, they're going to be done away. That's the hope that the Apostle Paul is talking about in this scripture today. This is the hope that we preach. There is a resurrection. There is a hope. And my friend, even today, as we go about our task, let's go about the task that we do from now to whenever with that hope in our heart. Now, you'll probably hear me get up and make some statements about the world this and the world that, but don't let that sway you. There's a hope. Amen. There's a hope. And my friend, Jesus Christ is that hope. And live every day in that hope. Live every day, my friend, in anticipation, joyful anticipation of Christ Jesus coming back and Christ Jesus taking us home and Christ Jesus between those times saving our lost loved ones and redeeming them. God bless you is my prayer. It's a hope that makes us not ashamed. It's a hope today, not like the world hopes, but it's a hope that's down deep inside of us that we have. And you know, I think of the soul as being like a lamp, a globe lamp. You know what a globe lamp is, I'm sure. Sometimes you have to take that lamp off and wipe the carbon off of it. Put it back on and man, it shines out. Sometimes we have to remove the carbon of the world. We have to remove the things that beset us. And whenever that we do, oh, that light that is within us, that hope that we have, it shines forth. So as we close our few remarks today, God bless you is my prayer. And I am so thankful today for each and every one of you that are here. I love y'all. I'm so glad that God has blessed you. And I'm looking forward to Him blessing you in the future. I pray that God saves your lost loved ones. Saves those that are out of the ark of safety. I pray for that today. And you know, as we look towards a new year, should Jesus tarry, let's live that hope out.